join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the work that you are doing all around the world. We know that you are calling people to yourself, calling people in different ways. And even after we are believers, you call us to different in different ways. So I pray for the people in Senegal that they will hear your word. But today, I pray that you will speak to us also today, right here. Thank you for your continued call on our lives, too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the title of my sermon today is God's Call. That might seem like an obvious thing for a missionary to speak on. But this one, it's actually not God's call so much, but God's calls, because God is always calling us at different times in our life. In our lives and in different ways. So this time I'm not going to just speak from one passage of scripture, but I'm going to try to look at the life of Paul and four different times where God called him clearly, like a vision or something very clearly, but it was not just one time that God called him. I'll just look very briefly at four different times, but try to get an overview and to help us to think about also where we are and what God might be calling us to, even at this time in our lives. God might have called you before, called you to himself, but God keeps calling in different ways throughout our lives. So let's look at Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. Each of these passages, I won't read the whole story because we won't have time for that, since we're looking at four different parts of Paul's life today. We'll just have to keep each one short. So this is not the whole story, but you probably know the story. This is when God calls him on the road to Damascus. So we'll just look at verse 3 through 6. As he, Paul, at this time he's called Saul, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So this is call number one. This is basically call number one for all of us, isn't it? Jesus was calling out to Saul, saying, "Why do you persecute me?" What he was calling him away from, he was calling him Saul to himself. But I want to ask you a couple of questions about this. Jesus said that he was persecuting him. Paul was persecuting him. Well, that can mean a couple of things. One is very obvious. Maybe if you know the story, what was Paul doing? He was persecuting people who were following Jesus. And if you're persecuting people who are following Jesus, Jesus might take that personally and say, "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" That's maybe a more obvious one. But I want to talk about something else, because Paul, later in his life, in another place in Philippians, he talks about how he kept the letter of the law flawlessly. He was a good Jew. He was trying to follow God and doing it as well as he could, the letter of the law. But still, even though that was a description of Saul at that time, Jesus was saying to him, "You're persecuting me, come away from that." Can it be that sometimes just by doing good things that we can actually be persecuting Jesus? Because what are we doing? Inadvertently, without thinking about it, sometimes what we're actually doing is saying, "I'm doing these good things, I don't need you, Jesus. I don't need you." But it's only at the point where we come to the place where we can say, "I can never be good enough, even though I want to." That's when we're ready to come to Jesus and say, "Save me, forgive me, because there's no way I can be good enough. Save me." That's when we can sing like we sang this morning, "How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me, because he took my sins and my sorrows on himself." But as long as we're thinking I can just be good enough and we're not coming to Jesus, that's a way of persecuting Jesus as well. Now, it's true in Senegal, I think it's true here in the United States as well, but in Senegal, I will start with that. I have a friend by the name of Mamadou. Mamadou is a very common name because it's Muhammad, basically, just another version of that. But this Mamadou was saying to me, he told me, I want to come and join your Bible study that you're having in your apartment. At that time, that was when I was in Senegal the very first time. I was still single at that time. I don't know if you know that, if I mentioned that before. But I was in Senegal for 2 years, from 1987 to 89. I might be telling my age a little bit. Mamadou said he wanted to come and study. He was a good guy. Likable, friendly, moral, and he was even interested in the Bible. He came and started reading, and we shared together for more than a year. But after that time of sharing together, one day he told me, well, I just can't believe this gospel you're talking about. And the reason is, it's just too easy. I've got to do something. You know, how can I come before God and I haven't done my works, my stuff? It's just too easy in my mind, in his mind. So he said, I can't accept that. Well, inadvertently, again, he's saying, Jesus, I don't need you. I'm gonna do this myself. And if we do that, in the end, we are persecuting Jesus because we're not accepting his salvation. So the first call that Jesus had on Saul's life was, stop persecuting me. Come and join me. Don't work against me, and don't rely on your own works. If you do, then you're not coming to me, and I'm the one who can save you. Okay, so our first call on Paul's life comes from Acts 9. Let's turn to chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, at least the next one that we have in Scripture. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and I'll read that. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Okay, you're probably familiar with this call also on Saul's life, Saul and Barnabas. It started out, Saul went on several missionary journeys, as we know. But this is the first call for that kind of mission work. So, first thing I want to point out is that very first call when Jesus spoke to Saul at that time, there's a bright light, he was blinded by it, you know, Jesus was speaking to him clearly. In this case, it's not like that. He's in a church, they're in a meeting. God speaks through the people in the church as they're praying together. No bright light, no earthquake or anything like that, but somehow they did know God was still speaking. So my first point, or the first thing I want to point out about that, is it really is the issue is not, did I have a bright light? Is it a dramatic call? If it's not, maybe it's not a real one or something like that. It can come in different ways. So let's not put too much stock in, you know, I have to have a call, a bright light, and all that, those kinds of things. But the important thing is not how the call came. It's our answer whenever we start to sense, oh, God seems like he's maybe leading me in this direction. It might actually come through the church, just like for Saul and Barnabas. Have you had any experience where members in the church came to you and said, I think you might be good at doing this kind of work? Have you considered helping our church in that way, or helping to do some kind of outreach or something like that? Because as the church prays together, sometimes God can lead through other people in the church in that way, at least enough to have you consider, hey, this might be something that God's actually saying, but it's something I need to consider and pray about. Whether it comes through the church, through our prayer time, through the Word, I mean, it's all going to agree with the Word. It shouldn't go against the Word. But however it comes in the end, our response is the important thing. Are we going to say yes, like Saul and Barnabas did, and start getting ready to go. Now, you know the story of Jonah. He obviously knew what the right thing was to do. God had called him in a clear enough way. He knew where he was supposed to go, but he went the opposite direction, didn't he? So if you've had the experience where you feel like God is speaking to you in some way, maybe through seeing some pictures like this, when a missionary comes and you see pictures, God's doing something in your heart, and you're saying, oh, I should be doing something like that. At least really consider that, because God does speak to us still today. If you're like Jonah and saying, I think God's calling me, but I really don't want to do that. I don't care about those people, for example. That's, I think, what Jonah was saying. Then I have at least one story that I want to share with you about that. Alice was talking about her friend earlier, and that same person, she's talking to us about her son, one of her sons. Alice mentioned she had 10 children. One of her sons, his name is Ebulai, and for short, people call him Lai. And that's a good name for him if we think about English, Lai, because he believed a big fat lie. There's a teacher in Senegal who's known for, even people there believe he's a leader of a cult. He promises people that if they follow him, he can show them God. They'll be able to see God with their own eyes after a while. And in the meantime, he has them go out and ask for money and bring him back some money. And there's all kinds of things. They grow these dreadlocks. One of the things he tells them to do is, when you come to me, this is your family now, you kind of don't go back to your family anymore. Don't talk with them, you know. So you can imagine this woman whose son, Lai, is believing this. He goes off. She doesn't know where he is. She doesn't know what's happening with him. She's distraught because he's believing these things, which are, you know, even in her mind, they're not right, and he will not come back to the family. So as she's sharing about this, she also asks us, you know, to pray for him. And of course, if we said, you know, if we're going to pray for him, you understand we're praying to Jesus, and we're praying through in Jesus' name. And if we say, come back to the Lord, you know what we're talking about. You know, when we pray for that. But she said she would want us to pray for him. And our experience with Lai ourselves, we're not that impressed with him. But what made us really want to join in and pray that he will come back to his family and pray that he will come to know the Lord? Well, a big part of it was seeing her desire for him to come home. Seeing her just how much she yearned for her son to come home. In a way, the same should be true when God calls us to something. If we see the way he yearns for those people to come to him, well, they might not be doing right. They're, you know, that's part of the call, to come away from that. But to see how God yearns for those people to come to him, sometimes that can make us willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. Not because I'm so impressed with them, but because I know that your desire is for them to come back. So the second call that we read about here in Paul's life was for a specific mission work. And Paul and Barnabas got ready to go. Let's look at Acts chapter 16, and we're going to see another call. And before we read this passage, I'll tell you the verses, though. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. But before I actually read them, I'm going to give you a little background on this one. Paul is involved in his missionary journeys, but he comes to a place in this chapter, in chapter 16, where it seems like the doors are closing left and right. In verse 6, he's planned to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit kept him from doing that. You may remember this story a little bit. Verse 7, he planned to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit didn't allow that. So he's got his call already. He knows he's supposed to be going out and sharing the gospel. He's trying to do that. But he's trying to go this way, and God says, no, that door's closed. He tries to go this way, and that Lord says, no, that's closed too. So, you know, he might be sitting there thinking, what's going on? I'm trying to answer God's call. But he keeps saying, you know, closing doors. So that's when we read the next couple of verses in verses 9 and 10. During the night, Paul, he's called Paul now, had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, so what might happen? Another kind of call. Well, it's very similar to the one before. God already called him to mission work, but sometimes God wants to call us to a new step or something maybe unexpected, but still yet a new part, even in what he's called us to do before. I think in some cases we can, as missionaries, maybe as pastors in other places, we can think, well, God called me. I know I'm doing what God called me to do, and so I'm just going to do it and do it and do it. And if we're not careful, we sort of stop listening to what God's saying. We're so sure we know what God wanted us to do, we're just going to do it. But we need to keep on listening even then, don't we? The Duke of Cambridge in the late 1800s, excuse me, he was quoted as saying, any change at any time for any reason is to be deplored. You ever feel like that? I just want to be able to do what I know what I want to do, and just, you know, don't bother me and ask me to change in any way. But when we're walking with the Lord, we know that we need to be always listening. God may have called you clearly, but he still may have a new thing somewhere along the way, or a new step, or a new people, or something that he still is wanting to call us to do. So have you perhaps come to a place where it feels like doors are closing for you? I'm trying to do this, it's not working. I'm trying to do that, it's not working. Well, just be open to that call also from God. Maybe God has a little bit something different that you didn't expect. A turn in the road a little bit. Be ready to listen to God at that time as well. So, God called Paul to turn from persecuting him, called him to a particular work, and then he called him to a new step in that work. But God wasn't finished calling him in his life. Let's look at one more passage. And this one is in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This one may be out of order chronologically, but since it's in a different book, I'm going to do this one as the last one. Here is also another clear vision, a clear revelation from God. This is one I haven't heard talked about very much. Maybe you have or maybe you haven't, I'm not sure. But let's read the passage and then we'll talk just a little bit about it. I'm only going to read the first two verses, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation. I never hardly noticed that before, by the way. I don't know, somewhere recently I said, oh, this is a revelation too. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Okay, this might seem a little bit surprising. Maybe Paul was surprised himself. God, you're calling me to go back to Jerusalem, to the Christians, to the people who already believe, and, you know, the leaders of the church, and lay before them the gospel that I preach? Why is that? You already called me to go to people who've never heard before. That's what Paul was interested in doing. But God gives him a clear revelation and says, go back to the apostles and share with them again. Lay before them this whole gospel that you're preaching. And so Paul does. And if we had time, the whole book of Galatians is talking about a question of circumcision, the people, the Jewish people. Some of the people were saying, we have to have these Gentiles, it's good for them to hear the gospel, we have to have them become circumcised, become Jews in a sense, before they can then become believers. Paul talks about that a lot in this book. If we see the result of his going and talking to the apostles, we can see that he was able to verify with others that he was on the right track. That gave him a little more confidence. They agreed that he should go to the Gentiles. We'll be sharing with the Jews and you with the Gentiles. They say that in this chapter. His strength and confidence was increased, as well as his fellowship with them. But here's what I think, as far as I can understand, why God asked Paul to go back to them at that time. If we can see in different ways, not only in Galatians, but in Acts, that Paul was actually a help to the apostles, and the apostles were actually a help to Paul in clarifying what they were doing. I'll give you some examples of that. God knew that they were headed in different directions. He had called Paul to the Gentiles. The apostles agreed with that. You're doing right. He had called the apostles to the Jews. They agreed with that. So they're heading in two different directions, but God called them to be together, to wrestle with some things, I believe. You know, that the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. As we're together and we have rough areas and everything, when we work together, sometimes it can be challenging, but it really does make us better if we are really seeking together to know God's call. Paul himself talked to Peter later in this chapter, face to face, and said, you who were eating with the Gentiles before, when other Jewish people came in, you started going away from them. Don't do that. He's thinking about the Gentiles and the way they see it and how it makes it harder for them if they have to sort of become like Jews and become circumcised and become Jewish in maybe some other ways as well. But he said that's not really part of the gospel. It's not part of the gospel to go back and fulfill all the law, because the salvation is not through the law. The law had its purpose, but salvation is by faith. So he helped to clarify for the apostles as well what they should do, what they should not do. But in turn, it was also the apostles helping Paul, because in another place in Acts chapter 15, they gave Paul some advice, and people going to the Gentiles. They said, just to give an example, they said, Moses has been preached in all these places for a long time. People are very familiar with that. One thing that you might, let's not do this. Food that's offered to idols and blood that's offered to idols, you know, don't be involved in eating that right in front of these Jewish people and all they've been taught before. It's just an extra obstacle for them. In any case, my point here is they both helped each other. They were heading in different directions. They helped each other and clarified what they were supposed to do. The reason this one means a lot to us right now is because we have something similar ourselves. When I say we were working with people from Wycliffe, and there are different things that are happening in Senegal, but one example, the way that God put us together and making us have to wrestle with some different questions has actually turned out to be a good thing. But one example is in Senegal, you have a large majority of the Wolof people who come from a Muslim background. But you also have a certain percentage of people who come from a Catholic background and come into the church and learn more about Jesus, and they're put together. And sometimes you do need to consider, well, what does that mean from that person who's come from that background? And we don't want to make it more difficult for them to come. Very simple examples, but scriptures that have covers that either can look exactly like in the Catholic way, with pictures of Mary and things like that in there. It can look exactly like a Muslim document or something like that. These are simple questions, maybe. But there are examples of ways that things that could be stumbling blocks to people. The scripture is going to be the same inside, no matter what. But in some cases, we have to consider where people came from and how to best make sure that it's only the gospel we're talking about, only God's word, not any other kind of stumbling blocks that are in the way. Because salvation is by faith in Jesus and not through the law, not through doing certain things in a certain way, other than in admitting and confessing that we are sinners and coming to the Lord. So the fourth call, I think, here to Paul is to go back, join with other believers, work through things that need to be worked out, but don't give up and just say, I'm leaving and I'm just going to do things on my own, because that's, you know, God made it clear in his revelation, no, I want you to be working with those people, even though they have a different focus on the people that they're working with. This was our prayer request also for those three guys, that they would stay faithful in the church, working through challenges. That's our prayer for ourselves too. We don't want to just say, this is hard, I'm going to go and do something on my own, but to try to work together. So in conclusion today, here's my question for you. How is God calling you today? God called Paul to turn away from persecuting him. And part of that was maybe relying on his own good works. He called him away from that. God called Saul or Paul to a particular work. Later, he called him again to clarify a next step in that work, a change in that work a little bit. But he still had to be listening. And God called Paul to go back to the apostles and work with other believers, even who had some different ideas, but to work together to try to come to exactly what God was telling them. These are just examples. But God, all through his life, and God, all through our lives, is calling. So however God is calling, my prayer for you and for us today is to do as Paul did. Be ready to say yes. Be ready to go however he is calling us. To seek help from others as far as that goes, but to be ready to say yes. Thank you so much for your attention today. We look forward to talking with you some more. Hopefully, if you do have questions, we really would like to have a chance to talk with you some more. Thank you very much.